Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
So a study that was conducted by the Public Service Sector Education and Training Authorities in partnership with the Tshwane University of Technology's Institute for the Future of Work has looked at how South Africa is faring in developing skills for future of work in the public sector. The National Development Plan has earlier highlighted that planning for skills development in the sector was absolutely inadequate and something had to be done about it. On the line with us is Professor of Public Affairs and Executive Dean of Humanities at the University of Tshwane, and he is Mashupie Masurumule. Thank you so much for making time for us, Prof. Good evening and welcome, and thank you so much for being with us on Kaya.
Good evening, Pernod, and thank you so much for hosting us.
This was necessitated, obviously, by the fact that all of us are looking to reach the national development goals, and we all know that South Africa has really two fundamental problems, poverty and inequality, and some of the work that needed to be done was to assess how efficient public service is for the betterment of this country. What did you discover in the line of your work while you were doing your studies looking at how capable we are technologically in serving our communities?
Yeah, indeed, Pamela. It was necessitated by what the National Development Plan observed some time back. And what we got was quite interesting, although not unexpected. You know, what we got was that indeed, for us to build what the National Development Plan has always been talking about, which is building a capable and developmental state. What we got was that for us to be able to really build such, we need a technology skills. In other words, we need we need the type of a public servant which is well equipped with competencies and skills related to many skills, particularly in your area of fourth industrial revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, you can think about robotics, data analytics, so forth and so on. And that was not really surprising in the sense that as part of the study, we even tried to do some kind of a comparative analysis, looking at some countries that have indeed made it in terms of optimizing their efficiencies. And we could clearly see that those studies have really invested so much in the area of technology, and at the same time also they try to actually develop skills in that area. You look particularly in countries that are in the global north, in Asia, America, so forth and so on. You know, so that was not really that much surprising. However, also, Pamela, what we found was that the issue really was not just only about technological skills and competencies related to that. We still have to also get our basic human skills correct, you know. Simple issues that relate to what we term ethical competence. In other words, the public service that has a strong sense of what is right or wrong. And that was not surprising given the extent of corruption, instances of thievery within the state. So the issue of ethical competence was not really that much surprising. And also basic financial human skills. And that also, to a very great extent, is consistent with what the Auditor General has been saying year in, year out, wherein in some instances there is just a lack of basic skill related to basic financial management. Just a simple question of saying that if I spend 50 rand, I need to actually have a proper record, you know. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that actually came up. You know, but there wasn't really something which was that much surprising, although it did confirm many things that we have always been reading about.
I'm struck by the fact that it's not that they're not familiar with the fourth industrial revolution's tools, because one assumes that they're using them in their personal capacity, but they're not applying them when it comes to the workplace. Maybe just elaborate on that for us.
That was quite interesting. Obviously, as we interacted with them, it was a question of, guys, we do have the technology of fourth industrial revolutions, issues related to cloud computing, issues related to robotics, issues related to data analytics, you know. And they were very much aware of that. So the question is, how can that be used to optimize state efficiency? And the attempt to answer that question, the answer was not really that much for writing, and which was quite surprising. So that immediately, you know, made us to realize that they are aware of this technology, but they are not really familiar with how this technology can actually be used to optimize state efficiency. I mean, just take an example, particularly in the context of our local sphere of government. You've got a person employed to work on issues that are related to local economic development, what we normally call local economic development managers. I mean, imagine if that guy had some knowledge insofar as data analytics is concerned, because for those guys to do a proper local economic development plan, they'll need as much socio-economic data for that particular municipality. And not only is a huge data, but if you know how to use the technologies of the fourth industrial revolution, it's going to be much more easier for them to be able to have a clear understanding of the economic and social profile of that municipality, for them to be able to put together a credible plan. So these are some of the things that we need. However, the issue is not really about the fact that they don't have those skills. The issue is about our education system. Mm-hmm. You know, if you go through the report, we talk about what we call the source of talent pipeline. Mm-hmm. When we talk about the source of talent pipeline, we are talking about the post-school system in its entirety. Mm-hmm. In other words, the question is, to what extent does it really fully prepare these students that we ultimately unleash into the market? To what extent is what we are teaching integrating technologies? Mm-hmm. In other words, it shouldn't really matter which field you are in. Each and every field must at least have some element of technology so that this student could ultimately become graduates who are technologically competent in addition to certain fields that they have gone through to study their respective to study for their respective qualifications. So that's a point that we emphasize.
And obviously, to your point earlier, yes, there are inadequacies with HR systems that can be addressed, and technological development that can be introduced to some who are already in the workplace. You speak about education and preparing those who are entering the workplace so that they're better equipped. That may take some time. The biggest issue, though, which is a societal issue, this issue of ethical competence, that I think will be quite a complex issue to deal with. And what were you proposing as a team?
What we are saying, Temelo, is that if you look at how our education system is designed, it is designed in such a manner that often the emphasis is actually put on the purpose of developing what we call cognitive faculties. In other words, our education system is designed in a way that only seeks to deal with the question of developing the cognitive or the intellectual faculties of our students. What we often tend to pay little attention to is exactly that part, the part that talk about developing as well. Equally important is what we call the character formation of our students. In other words, we tend to assume that a student would necessarily be ethically competent, and often they are not. I used to give this example, Tumelo, that if you look at the Zondo Commission, we've seen so many people who were so professionally, cognitively, intellectually competent, however ethically bankrupt. You know, they did not really display some ethical competency in terms of how to go about doing certain things. And the education system, in other words, you'll get a damn good engineer, but that damn good engineer, ultimately, he or she is found to be ethically bankrupt. So what does that mean? It means that even in your engineering faculty, there should be some intervention of some sort in terms of ensuring that engineering students are also exposed to courses, to modules, or whatever that you might call it in ethics, you know, because often people tend to say, ethics belongs to humanities. It doesn't belong to engineering. So all what we're trying to say is that this becomes a universally important area that we should also try to put more emphasis in our university, so that ultimately, we also get an engineer who is not just only good technically as an engineer, but he should as well be good ethically as an engineer. Does he have that sense of saying that by doing this thing is wrong and therefore I am not going to do it? And that person must actually grow up with that thing. You know, in the final analysis, I think we need to also begin to seriously as a country put more emphasis on something which other countries have been doing, what we call civic education, wherein we could begin to emphasize the importance of what is wrong, what is right amongst the kids, even from the kindergarten, so that they can grow up with that, with an orientation that the country, our country, what is in the best interest of the country always comes first.
So, Prof, this will obviously need executive buy-in. How has the study been received?
I am so excited, Tumelo, that after we completed the study, I think it was last week on Monday when we launched the report, we had the leadership of the administration of the state. When we talk about the leadership of the administration of the state, we are talking about your director general, for example, were there, the deputy director generals were there, and also we had even the heads of other important institutions of government were there, and we presented the report, and we actually say that this is what the report is emphasizing. We're so happy that we could actually pick up some buying in, and I was just so happy with the level of commitment, because the point that we emphasized was that, guys, we need to make sure that we do the right things. Otherwise, if we are not going to do that, we know for a fact that if you study, you know, all these other studies that they've done in terms of trying to look at the extent to which people are happy with public institutions, we can see that the perception about public institutions is so low. And the only thing that we could do to change that is for us to start to do the right thing. We don't have any other option. But I was so glad that the buy-in was actually there, and they actually embraced the report and were invited to come and make presentation in other processes of the state where decision ought to be taken. But they made a commitment that we need to make sure that the recommendations of the report become part of the process of putting together interventions, implementation plans, so forth and so on. So I was happy that at least the buy-in was there.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time, Professor Mashupie Maserumule. And he's a professor of public affairs and executive dean of humanities at the Tshwane University of Technology.
Click kaya959.co.za. This is how we do it.
to download the Point of View podcast.